You are listening to the MZBC Students Greenhouse Podcast. For more information about Mount Zion Baptist Church, go to mzbc.net/students or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MZBC.
I have some
students.
Favorite greenhouses of the year. This is supposed to do that. I have some favorite greenhouses of the year, and senior night always ranks up there near the top because there's something that happens towards the end of high school. When you kind of look back and you kind of you're examining how life was lived on your part and on the part of the people that are around you and were around you, it's a reflective time. Even if you don't think it's going to be, even if you don't think it's going to be kind of a heavy moment, it is. It's signaling this huge transition. And that's what I love about senior night, is because at that point of transition, we give our seniors an opportunity to reflect on where they are and how they got there. And if they're excited about where they are, if this is where they wanted to be, as if this is the person they imagined themselves being, you know, 3, 4, 6 years earlier, then what did God do to get them to that point? And if not, if they had big aspirations in their faith, if they had big aspirations for impact, they wanted to leave a legacy on the student ministry and didn't, then why? So what I ask our seniors to do each year is to be honest with you. Is to be honest about the things that they did really well. And not in a braggy way, but it's like, man, if you spent, you know, years investing in the Word of God and it changed your life, then tell them that. Be honest about it. And if you spent years doing almost nothing and starving yourself spiritually, and you look back on that with some regret, then be honest about that. And so I've asked our seniors to be honest with you. I think they were. And I think that if we gave them more time, then they could have talked and talked and talked and told you all sorts of things. The great thing about it is our seniors are around for the whole summer, and they're going to be on mission trip with you high school students. They're going to be in greenhouse with you through the summer, so you can ask. But tonight, we're just going to hit the high points for them. It's not going to be their entire story. It's not their whole life. It's just some nuggets. And so I see some of you got some journals out and some pens out and some notebook things. You are smart. The rest of you, get smarter. You feel me? So get your phone out or whatever. I don't care what you need to do. And we're going to self-police around here. So this is the way this works. If you see somebody doing something besides taking notes on their phone, you can keep it. You just keep it, because Britain says so, okay? Don't keep their phone. But, maybe you should. I don't know. But, so get something out where you can take some notes. All right? You got it? Good. So what we're going to do, we're going to watch through this, and then we're gonna come back together. We're going to look into the Word of God a little bit. I've got a journal entry I'm going to read to you from Sarah Harming a little bit later. So it's going to be a good night, okay? So you ready? So here's what you got to promise yourself. All right, here's what you got to promise yourself. Listen here. Stop talking to that kid next to you again. Shh, zip it. They're so squished over here that they're all touching. It's like when the gummy bears get stuck together in your car. That's what happens over here. And they just have the hardest time. You're touching me. Yeah, gummy bears. All right, gummy bears. You gotta pay attention, okay? If you need to, there's a whole bunch of space back there. If you need to get unstuck, you feel free. But I want you to pay attention. I want you to get something out of it because you're going to talk about some of this stuff and unpack some of these things in your small groups, okay? All right. Okay, let's watch this. Here we go.
So I feel like the small groups have really helped me in a way of giving me a group of girls that I know that will always be there for me and are always there if I ever need any prayer for anything or just anything in general or just to hang out.
Make sure that you really participate during small group time, that you not only answer questions and contribute to discussions, but that you form relationships with all the people in your group, especially your leaders. For me, forming relationships was the best part because I have lifelong friends and I know that I can talk to my leaders anytime.
Small groups are a very significant facet of your church life and your walk in faith, simply because it's the most valuable time that you have to sit down and get into the Bible and discuss things with your peers and those who want to see you grow in your faith and want to encourage you. And without that connection between your fellow Christians, it's very hard to grow as a Christian yourself.
If you feel a calling or are being led to serve or lead in the church or community, try and take the steps as fast as you can so you don't have a short amount of time to do something that you love like I do, because it's kind of sad. I want to do it as long as I can because it's just so fun to be able to lead and be able to be an impact to others' lives. And it's just so cool to be able to see how leading and how you, by just doing one thing, how you can change someone's life.
Serving is loving people, and God called us to love people, so we should serve.
Serving and leading has impacted me by definitely making my faith stronger. It's made me outgoing. I'm not afraid now to just throw my hands up in the air and worship our one true King. I think that when there's a trip that's offered or they need someone to help with the band, you should definitely take that chance, and you should, you know, go on the trip. Like, you never know what you're gonna see, you know, who you're gonna meet that's gonna not only impact you, but who you can impact. And just don't be scared to step out of your comfort zone, because in the end, it could be the thing that changed your life for the better.
James 2:26 says, "Just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." As your time at Greenhouse, you're going to have a bunch of opportunities to serve the community, and so I just encourage you to get out and do that. You can get involved in mission trips. I've been to Haiti 3 times. I got to go with the youth group to Chattanooga and to Atlanta, and so service is just a really awesome opportunity to put your faith into action. So it's one of the best ways that I've grown with the Lord, and I just really encourage y'all to do that.
One of the most valuable things that you can do as a Christian is get involved in your church. Myself, within the past several years, I was not very consistent with my attendance to church, especially with Greenhouse as well. And when I joined the band, that gave me a reason to come back consistently, and it exposed me to a lot of people who were very strong in their faith, who encouraged me constantly. And since then, I've seen a great impact on my life just from saying, "Hey, can I think about doing this?" And they're very helpful, and they will absolutely 100% be behind you in getting involved with your church and serving for God.
I just wanted to talk about how important to me it is that all of us are serving some way of some form. We have all of our small group leaders, and they're here taking their time for just some teenagers to invest in our lives. I think we can do the same for the younger children in the church. I watch 3-year-olds on Sunday mornings. I absolutely love them. And, you know, Britton had texted me and asked me if I'd do this. And 3-year-olds was kind of actually at the time it was 2-year-olds, kind of scared me because I like kids, but I'd never really been around toddlers and everything. But I really encourage you to step out of your comfort zone if you feel convicted to go on to help and go on ahead and help with the kids ministry. And also, I mean, if you don't feel convicted of that, I'm sure God's placing something on your heart, and I just want to emphasize that you should help out.
I think one of the biggest ways to live out your faith is to start out by remembering that high school and middle school isn't some waiting room for the rest of your life. Like, you'll never be able to go over the announcements again and announce FCA, and you'll never be able to go up to someone and invite them to Greenhouse again. Like, we have so many opportunities now, and we have one of the biggest mission fields now, and we're so preparing for our futures that sometimes we forget about how big that mission field is. And we're so focused on what comes next instead of we're here right now, and sometimes all we get is right now. So I think it's really important to remember that. A huge part of living out your faith is to make everywhere you are your mission field. Every person you meet, and like, doesn't matter what stage of life you're in, living out your faith happens the whole way through. So I think one of the biggest parts is just to remember that right now you have a goal, and that's not going to come after you graduate. That starts right now.
So a huge way to live out your faith is just to love others in the way that God has loved us, and just really show them that it's constant and never gonna stop.
Some keys to growing spiritually are definitely, one, read your Bible. Don't be like me and wait 17 years to wake up 20 minutes earlier just to read your Bible. Another thing is prayer. Like, prayer is very important. God is your best friend. Make him your best friend and be like the center of your life. It's the most important thing ever. Another one is serve others. Very important. Do it, because especially with all the mission trips we have, like, you can just use those, and we go and we love on kids and we build things, and it's amazing.
There's definitely a lot of ways that you can grow in your faith spiritually, but the most important thing is just to stay into God's word, and mainly just to be, as long as you're invested in his word, as long as you stay close to it and read it frequently, then you'll be able to learn from it, and you'll definitely be able to live your life like Christ and realize his love for you, and you know, that will just take root in you, especially when you worship in church and at Greenhouse and learn in Sunday school. That'll just take root in you, and it'll change you, and it'll definitely help you to grow in your spiritually.
The potential for Greenhouse is to get to know the Lord better, but also to get to know your friends better as well, and to know them on not just like, you know, what's their favorite color kind of basis, but to get to know them spiritually. And it's also really important to invest in the kids that are younger than you, because it's important to build Greenhouse, and once they get to your age, you want them to invest in the kids that are younger than them, so it becomes a pattern of investing in one another and helping each other to grow spiritually together.
My favorite student ministry memory was this past Beach Breakaway, just because I got to meet a whole bunch of new people, and I got to lead a small group, and just everything about it.
So the most memorable student ministry moment for me was probably last year at the Student Life Camp. Me and some, I was a junior then, but some seniors and I went and played Ultimate Frisbee, and just had, you know, it was a great time together. All my best friends, met some really cool people from other churches, and it was just a really cool experience, because I don't think we've ever lost in Ultimate Frisbee with this church, so let's not lose that streak this year.
My favorite memory is from my sophomore fall retreat. We went whitewater rafting, and my group had a leader named Julie, and we were just getting into the rapids, and we saw this guy standing on a rock, and it was underwater, and we just told Julie that we were there with a church retreat. And she looked at him and said, look at him. He looks like Moses, doesn't he? And then, like, everyone in the raft just kind of stopped talking, just, like, stared at each other.
My experience hanging out with my leaders has definitely been a blessing, because you can really feel the love and effort that they put in to being your leader and your mentor and helping to teach you the Word of God. It's definitely been such an amazing thing knowing that they do love me, and that they've wanted to invest in me. And I really want to give back to the church. I want to, when I graduate, I want to be a leader myself. I want to invest in people, and I've had experience knowing what that's like, and it's definitely something you should think about in your small groups, and even growing up in general, just in the real world. Because it's a relationship. I mean, they're your friend. It's brothers, sister in Christ. Not much more you could ask for.
Guys, you should all just go on the trips. They're like the greatest things ever. What's better than getting to go out of town with all your friends, and unless if your parents are like small group leaders or whatever, without your parents, and just get to focus on your relationship with God. I mean, I don't really know of anything else much better than that.
I was only able to go on 2 trips, and I know now that I wish I could have gone on a lot more trips beforehand, like years before. And I got invited, but I kind of didn't feel like the people who invited me were my friends or would hang out with me at the trip. So when you invite people, like, make sure to hang out with them before the trip and make sure they know that, like, you'll be their friend during the trip.
Go on every trip, because I did it and I really regret it, and you should just go on everyone. I know that sometimes it's weird, but you should just do it.
You need to go on every single student ministry trip that you possibly can. Even if your best friend's not going on it, you still need to go, because these trips are the best way for you to connect with your other students that you're with, and also your leaders, but also God.
So one piece of advice for me is just make sure you pick your friends really wisely in high school, because it's really a big game changer when you have people that you can rely on. They're always there for you, that will always point you towards Christ. So make sure you're doing that and not hanging out with the wrong people.
The best advice that I could give you is to read your Bible daily and spend a generous amount of time in scripture and also prayer.
Invest in gel highlighters because they don't bleed through Bible pages.
I thought they did well. I thought they did well, man. We got Carly staring at us like she didn't know we're there. And the most significant thing that happened to Christian in the entire 6 years of student ministry is playing Frisbee. I don't believe him. I don't believe him. I think he lied to you on that one. But everybody else, I think, was being true. That couldn't have been the most significant thing. Anyway, it's totally not. Every sermon in Greenhouse from me. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So, hope you took some notes, because that was like 7,000 pieces of advice and you're not going to remember all of them. So one of your questions in your small group is going to be talking about some themes that you heard coming up over and over again. What did you hear repeated, and what are you going to do with that? But for me, like when I think about what your seniors said, and then what I consistently hear from seniors, like the message that they always share is really, it really comes down to the same thing. It's always the same thing, and it's applicable to you as middle schoolers and high schoolers and graduating seniors about to go to college, as it is to me. Essentially, if you like boil down everything that they say, is don't waste your time. Just don't waste your time. Like it's there's not room for it. I love what Ariel said. When Ariel said, she said, middle school and high school isn't some waiting room for the rest of your life. She says, start now. I think for me and for a lot of them, like we just waited too long. Like we didn't really give our hearts and lives, our soul and strength to Christ, and we just wasted it on junk. I don't know if you realize this. I know you don't realize this, but like most of what normal middle school and high school students chase after, most of what your mind and your heart's attention is given to, is a giant waste of time. I don't say that in any way to belittle you. I'm just, all I want to say is that, like, if you live life like everyone else, it's a huge waste of time. And so you get to the end of a season like this, you get to the end of your senior year, and you look back, and you're like, none of that stuff matters. Does it really matter if you score one more goal? Like, in light of eternity, does that one more goal matter? In light of eternity, does it matter if you're this much better playing a clarinet? Does it, in light of eternity, does it matter if you have one more 2-month-long relationship? That was so deep that like you couldn't breathe. And then you spent 6 months whining about it. Like, is that worth it? Does that matter when you're 65 years old? At the end of your days, does what you're chasing after matter? Because I know for me, when I was a high school student, nearly everything I was pursuing before I was 17 years old was a giant waste of time. I think you can be wasting your life and not even realize it. Christians in the room, listen, you're not called to live life like everybody else. You've found something better. You've found salvation. You've been saved out of normal into something much grander, something that matters for eternity. Are you wasting it? See, Christians aren't called to be normal. We're called to be Philippians 3 kind of people. I didn't put it on the screen because I didn't feel like it. But Philippians 3... Maybe you want to flip there in your app or whatever. I don't. You know, Philippians 3 is one of my favorite passages in all Scripture, because it's just Paul being gut level honest. He's looking back across the way he lived life, and knows that everything before Jesus was a waste, like a lot of your seniors do. Like, I hope you don't come to, like, I hope, like, you don't continue chasing after the ways. Philippians 3, verse 8. Paul says this. He says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." You hear that? I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them all as trash in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having some righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. It's like, listen, everything else I used to chase after, everything I brought to the table, everything I strove for, everything in me that I thought was of value, all of my goodness, all of it was trash compared to knowing Jesus. I think I spent a long time chasing trash. I think your seniors have spent some time chasing trash. And the unified voice from people ahead of you, what you hear out of them, and from me, from your small group leaders, is don't waste your life. You're not in a waiting room. You're on a mission field. Go. Let's go. So instead of wasting our lives, instead of living for trash, like the challenge, the call, like what you're hearing out of them is they're saying, like, just live for Jesus. Like, just live for Christ. Don't waste your life. Instead, live for Christ. Would you dare to live differently as a middle school or high school student? Would you dare to live differently? To not live normal, to not chase the thing everybody else is chasing, and they keep chasing it because it's still empty when they find it? Like, would you dare to live differently than the rest of the world? I want you to hear from Sarah Harmoning. He wrote a journal entry on March 4th, 2017. Because Sarah knew what it meant to live different. Sarah knew what it meant to not waste your life and instead to live for Christ. She did it. So this is what she said. It says, "Lord, I pray that I will be a stranger on earth. Please help me not to want to fit into the mold that the world had for me. Please help me to be different from everyone else because of my relationship with you and the Holy Spirit. Please help me to be a light everywhere I go, including home, and to never falter before saying your name in casual conversation. I pray that people will know there's something different about me and for them to want it for themselves so I could be a good witness. And lastly, I pray that I will live redeemed. And in that, I mean with inexpressible joy. In your precious name I pray, amen." Sarah knew Christ in a way that made her want to live for him, and not for anything less. And that's why she's been such an inspiration, like in getting to hear the stuff out of her life. Like, this is kind of gave this window into her walk with Christ. Like, I've been challenged by that. I think you've been challenged by that. She wasn't wasting her life. She was living for Jesus. And it's impacted us. What kind of impact will your life have the way you're living it? I've had conversation this year with people, with teenagers in particular, with teenagers saying, like, they were coming to this point of knowing Jesus well enough that everything else was starting to fade. Isn't that cool? Like, I've, like, multiple conversations this year. I've been talking to people like you who are where you are, saying, "Man, I'm getting it now. I'm starting to figure out Jesus to the point, like, everything else just kind of seems worthless compared to him." And I'm like, "Yeah, right? It's great. Yeah. Like, you're getting it. You're getting there. When everything else starts to look like trash compared to Christ, yeah, you're there. What we don't want for you is for you to inadvertently live your life for something worthless. You might be doing that and not even realize it. It's my challenge. It's for you to simply live like you know him. To live like you know him. If you're a Christian in the room, to live like you know him. The people in the room who aren't Christians, they need to see you live like you know him. To make an impact. What can you do? What can you do in middle school or high school? What can you do that will last for eternity? As a middle school or high school student, what can you do that will last for eternity? A little bit higher test grade? Maybe get that little like cute popular friend group that you can like, you know, go to a movie with. You know, like hardly anybody you're friends with in high school is still going to be your friend after high school. I'm married to one, and I've got one other. Everybody else I don't talk to at all. Ask your small group leaders how many high school friends they talk to. You're living your life for people that you're not going to talk to in 2 years. We can do better. We can do better. Man, I wish that I could go back and do high school again to live like I know him. I wish that I could name anybody and that went to my high school that is now going to spend eternity in heaven because I spoke up. And I can't. I can't name one person whose eternity shifted like that because I spoke up. Can you? Because some of the people in here can. You absolutely can. But I wasted it. Some of you are wasting it. So my challenge to you is this. It's the next couple of verses in verse 12 through 14 of Philippians 3. It's a challenge to run hard. It's like commit. Like if you're a Christian, you're like to say, if that's the alternative, I'm not doing it. I'm going to run hard. Listen to this. He says, Paul said, not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect or something, but it says, I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I don't consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Did you hear this? Forgetting what lies behind. Like all your mess, like the mess of a school year, like the mess of it, like the all of the trash, like forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead. You can strain forward to an abiding relationship with Jesus. A relationship with Jesus that feels real because it is real. Kind of relationship with Jesus that like changes your life and the lives of those people around you. Like the kind of relationship with Christ where your grandkids live different because of it. Straining toward what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What does it look like for you to begin pressing on right now? If you're a Christian in the room, what does it look like for you to get what lies behind and to strain forward for what lies ahead, pressing on towards the goal of knowing Jesus? What does pressing on look like? 20 minutes early in the morning? Is that too much work? Is that too hard? Maybe memorizing a passage here and there? Like you can memorize, like, man, like, you're taking an AP exam. Like, you can learn a lot of things. You can memorize some scripture too. What does pressing on look like for you? Man, don't waste your life. Live for Christ. Middle school and high school students, my suggestion is that you commit to take this summer to build a foundation that you can actually stand on. To begin like building a foundation that you can actually stand on. Not a foundation that's built on other people's opinions of you, but on the Word of God. So this summer, If you're at ground zero, man, if you haven't really invested in your relationship with Christ at all, start with the Word of God. Read it, memorize it, meditate on it. And it's going to drive you to prayer. So prayer and the Word of God is going to be your starting point. And if that's all you got, that's going to be absolutely plenty. So that's my challenge for you. But for college students, I want to give you a couple of things too. Like if you're heading into college next year, you're graduating, I got four things for you. Four things for you, college students. And eventually, all of you are going to graduate high school, so by extension, it's all going to be for you. But you know, I'll tell you again next year. Anyway, so if you're a graduating senior, I got four things. Join a church. Join a church. We all know what happens. We all know what happens when somebody says, "I got busy" or whatever, and they stop coming to Greenhouse, they stop being invested in Mount Zion, and they bail. We know what happens. And the exact same thing will happen to you if you go to college and you bail. If you're not around the community of God, you're going to end up a mess spiritually. I promise. It's not a question of, like, before your class starts, like, have a list of the churches that you're going to try out and figure it out. It's not going to be like Greenhouse. And I don't care. Like, the first century church wasn't like Greenhouse. I mean, like, you can, like, this doesn't matter. Find a church and invest yourself deeply. The second thing, tell people about Jesus. It's remarkable. Just tell people about Jesus. Like, sitting on the quad or whatever your school has. Like, just tell people about Jesus. Like, ask them what they believe about stuff. Share what you believe. Like, just engage people in conversation. Tell me about Jesus. The next one is pour yourself out for other people. A lot of y'all talked about serving and encouraging people to serve well and serve deeply and serve broadly. And so pour yourself out for other people. Like, find a church that's going to let you serve. Find some ways that you can serve for the name of Christ. I'm not saying serve for your sorority because you have to have 40 hours a day or something of service. Like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, serving for the name and the glory and honor of Christ. Pour yourself out for people. That sorority junk doesn't count. That's silly. All right. And last, this is for all of us, but particularly you guys, cling to Jesus daily. Like, cling to Jesus like you're dangling off a cliff and he's got your hand, and like cling to Jesus daily. And you'll be fine. But students, listen to me. Seniors and the rest of you. When you stop clinging to Jesus and you reach out to grab hold of what the world offers you, you will fall. When you reach out to grab a boyfriend's hand and say, like, man, you're going to be my be-all, end-all, like, my world is going to evolve, you're like, he can't hold you up, all right? Like, it ain't going to work. When you start trying to cling to your academic performance because your dad told you that you had to be an engineer, you're like, he won't pay for your college or something, and you're like, I got to cling to my GPA. Not worth it. Not worth it. Cling to Christ. Consistently, daily. And let the rest of it take care of itself. Are you wasting your life? Or are you living for Christ? Let me pray for you. Father, I wasted my life for a long time. A lot of us have. But God, I'm so grateful that in your mercy and in your grace, that when I decided to turn and follow you, you welcomed me with open arms. God, I'm thankful for the life that you've brought me into, life of impact. I pray that we would be Philippians 3 kind of people, that we would dare to be different, that we wouldn't follow what the world calls us to follow, but that we would follow hard after you, that we'd be as strangers here, that we'd live redeemed, that we live for your name, for your glory, not for the glory of anything else. Father, don't let us waste our life. For those in the room, God, who aren't Christians, I want to pray specifically for them, the ones who just aren't sure. Man, like, I don't know where I'm. I believe there's a God, but they've never trusted you as their Savior. God, I pray that they would see, like, in this room right now, that they would see people who love you enough to turn their back on everything the world offers, and that they would want to know what it is that would compel somebody to do something like that. I pray that you would draw those in the room who don't know you, that you would draw them to yourself, that you'd save them, that you'd save them out of what the world offers, and you'd save them into your glory and your goodness and your grace and your mercy. Father, don't let us waste our life. We love you. It's your son's name I pray. Amen. All right, you guys are